Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We'd like to bring our meeting to order. This is a meeting of the Florida Building Commission Accessibility Advisory Council. Today is Thursday, March the 26th of 2020, and it is 3 p.m. Let's begin by calling roll to confirm that we have a quorum and answer by saying here. Mr. Delvecchio?
I'm here.
Beth Meyer? Tim Willingham?
Here.
Paul Vixney?
Here.
Darlene Leibel Crow?
I'm here.
Thank you. Allison Klein?
Here.
And Paul Martell?
Here.
Thank you. Beth Meyer, were you able to join the line? We do have 6 out of the 7, so we have a quorum. I would like to advise everyone that a lot of us are working remotely under our current circumstances, so we're going to ask for extreme patience, and so please be very mindful of background noise. Cars going by, children talking, anything happening around you is picked up and amplified by speakerphone, so we do ask you to please be mindful of that. Do not put any phones on hold. That would cause background music or radio sounds that will impede our conversation. You may *6 to mute your phone, #6 to unmute your phone, or use your mute button that's attached to your phone if you have one. We'd now like to introduce staff that are on the line. I'm Marlita Peters, and I'm going to help facilitate your meeting today.
Mama
Donnie and Robert Brimble are on the line. We have Jim Hammers.
Chip Sellers.
Thank you, Chip. We also have Chris Howell. I believe that we have Justin Vogel with us, as well as Thomas Campbell. Do we have any other staff? Hearing none, do we have any guests on the line that would like to be introduced for the recording, please? And if you are representing a property, please tell us which one.
Good afternoon. My name is Juan Alayo. I'm Alayo Architects, and I'm representing the Penguin Hotel application.
Juan Alayo, is that correct?
Yes.
Thank you. Next.
David Conley, representing Leola Construction.
Thank you, David. Do you have someone else representing the property as well?
I've got an assistant online, but he's muted out right now.
Okay, thank you. Next.
This is Ryan Richards of RG Architects. I'm representing the Community School of Naples, and we have you here with the owner's representative, contractor and legal counsel all in one phone call.
And that was the athletic field of Naples?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. And would you repeat your name, please?
Ryan, R-Y-A-N, Richards.
Ryan Richards. Thank you very much. Next, please. Let's try this. Do we have anyone from New Control Room on the line? Hearing none, do we have anyone for the change of use waiver 436 in Miami Beach? Next, do we have anyone from Stay and Save Motel waiver 421? Anyone on the line from Villa Quattro?
Yes, architect Tom Weber.
What? Tom Weber.
And Emily Balter from Burcardo Fernandez, Larkin, and Tapanez. We are on behalf of Villa Quattro. I believe my colleague Matthew Amster is also on the line.
Can you repeat that last name, please, Emily?
Matthew Amster, A-M-S-T-E-R. He's also on the line.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you taking names of everybody who's on right now?
I'm taking names of everyone who's representing the properties that are listed for waivers today. Would that be you?
Yes. Tony Leon, architect.
And what property do you represent, Mr. Leon?
This is 1323 and 1327 West Avenue.
Can you repeat your first name, please?
Anthony Leon.
Anthony Leon, thank you very much. Sure. Once again, anyone on the line from New Control Room? Or anyone from Stay and Save Motel? Do we have any other guests on the line that would like to be recognized for the recording? Hearing none. Council members, we would like to approve the agenda. I did notice that on item C, the commission's action from February notes 2019. I believe that should note February 2020. Other than that correction, would you like to approve the agenda?
Joe DeVecchio, I make a motion that we approve the agenda as written.
Second.
Hi, Paul Vixley, second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Next, we'd like to approve the previous minutes from Thursday, January the 30th of 2020, if there are no corrections or changes.
And this is Joe DeVecchio. I make a motion that we approve the past minutes as written.
I, Paul Vixley, second.
Thank you. All those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Thank you. Now we'd like to take the report on the commission action on February of 2020 and the waiver applications. Mr. Sellers, is that you or Mr. Madani today?
That's Mr. Madani.
Yeah, this is Mohammed Dani. This is to report to you that the commission's approved the waiver application from last meeting in a similar manner to your action. So, thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll move into our application waivers. Begin with New Control Room for Florida Caribbean Distillers. Is there anyone representing their property on the line? Hearing none, Mr. Sellers, would you like to give a report, please?
Yes. This is New Control Room for Florida Caribbean Distillers Company, waiver number 440. The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor, and the project type is new construction. The project progress is plan review. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story prefabricated metal building with a floor area of 2,550 square feet. The applicant stated that this new facility will be occupied by distillery controllers and that the general public will not have access to the building. The proposed new two-story building is to be occupied by non-handicapped personnel only. These persons must be able to cross conveyor systems and physical obstructions, climb stairs and traverse catwalks and areas where forklifts are used and other areas that handicapped persons are not allowed to enter due to the hazards and dangers to any handicapped person. The project's estimated cost is $500,000. The applicant alleges that the hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility based on the fact that the project in question is new construction.
Thank you. Once again, is there anyone representing Florida Caribbean Distillers on the line? Is there anyone from the public that would like to make comment? Hearing none, council members, back to you for a discussion and a motion.
Yes, This here is Joe Domenico. We had a similar application in the last couple of months, and I do not believe that this is in the purview of this council to make a decision on this. This is obviously is new construction. Mr. Modotti, and the last time we ran into such a situation, made it very clear that all new construction in the state of Florida is to be made accessible. What they're asking us to do is to make a determination on the capabilities of certain people's their physiology. That is not within this council's purview. Therefore, I strongly recommend that we table this. It is not in our purview. Thank you.
Mr. Del Vecchio, we'll need a motion to either accept or deny.
Marlita, this is Justin Vogel, the commission's attorney. If I might address Mr. Del Vecchio and the Accessibility Council.
Yes, please.
Mr. Del Vecchio, as far as whether you need to table this or not, the council is allowed to make a recommendation to approve or deny. And in fact, it should, I would say, to the commission. And you're perfectly fine with making a motion to deny if that's what you want. I would also just point out that while it is unusual for new construction to be granted a vertical accessibility waiver due to many issues, which Mr. Madani has spoken of in the past, it's not strictly contrary to the law. It's just it typically hasn't been done because there's usually an inability on the part of the applicant to show that they meet the criteria for granting a waiver. So it's not necessarily outside of the commission's legal power to grant one. That said, the council does not have to recommend that it be granted. And I would recommend that you make a motion one way or the other for it. Thank you.
Council members, we would need a motion, please.
Mr. Paul Vixley. I motion that we deny the waiver based on the fact that it's new construction.
This is Allison Klein. I second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion by the council? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Next on our agenda is the change of use for waiver number 436. Mr. Sellers or Mr. Bimbo, providing a report, please.
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project progress is under construction. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story hotel. This is a change of use from apartment house to a hotel. The 1323 and 1327 lots are being connected by a unity of title and converted into 15 units with a staff lobby, a new handicap accessible ramp. Proposed use is a two-level hotel with 8 units with 11,874 square feet. The project cost is $895,000 for the alteration. The alteration will include a new ramp, a new accessible room, two rooms with special communication features, structural repairs, paint, new flooring, and new fixtures. The architect said the addition of the elevator would significantly alter the structure of the building. The building is located on a confined site that does not allow for further development due to established setbacks. The hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver from vertical accessibility on the grounds of technical and feasibility.
Thank you. Mr. Anthony Leon, you're on the line. Would you like to add anything to this comment, sir?
No, I think that's pretty much it. There is also, architectural district, which also has some requirements that we would be up against, and with comments or conversations with the staff, some of the variants that we would have to request would likely be denied. So we're just kind of the technical and feasibility is the best answer that we have to that requirement.
Thank you. Council, do we have any clarifying questions of Mr. Sellers? Hearing none, is there anyone from the public with questions or comments? Council, back to you for a motion.
Yes, this is Joe. I make a motion that we agree to the waiver on the grounds that it's that is technically infeasible.
This is Darlene. I second it.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second based on technical and feasibility. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. We'll now move to item number 3 on the agenda, Penguin Hotel, waiver number 447. Mr. Sellers?
The issue is vertical accessibility to the raised half level of the guest rooms. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. Project progress is in plan review. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the raised half level of guest rooms of a three-story hotel with 10,000 square feet. The project cost is $95,000 for the alteration. The architect stated that currently the hotel has satisfied the required number of accessible guest rooms. Accessible rooms for the hotel are located on the second and third floors, which are accessible from the street to lobby via ramp and via elevator from the lobby. Adding a wheelchair lift to provide access to the raised half level of guest rooms would reduce the existing 4 foot, 8 inch width to less than 44 inches wide and would impact life safety. The hardship is caused by aesthetic conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver from vertical accessibility on the grounds of technical feasibility.
Thank you. Mr. Juan Alayo, you're on the line representing the property. Do you have any further comments, sir? Mr. Alayo? Hearing none, council members, do you have any clarifying questions?
I was muted. No, we don't. I mean, the explanation was pretty clear what our circumstances are.
Thank you, Mr. Alayo. Council members, any clarifying questions? Hearing none, is there anyone from the public that would wish to ask questions or make a comment? Council members, we're ready to entertain discussion and or motion.
This is Darlene. I make a motion to grant the waiver of vertical accessibility on the basis of technical and feasibility.
Rebecca, seconds.
Thank you. Any further discussion, Council? Hearing none, all those in favor, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. Now we'll move to item number 4. The Stay and Save Motel, waiver number 421. Mr. Sellers?
The issue is vertical accessibility to the second floor. The project type is new construction, and project progress is under construction. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of a two-story hotel with a floor area of 12,500 square feet. The project is a new hotel with 20 guest rooms, 10 on the first floor and 10 on the second floor, and one owner's dwelling. The guest rooms are accessed by exterior walkway on the first floor and the exterior balcony on the second floor. The required accessible room and all the common use facilities are located on the first floor and are accessible. The project's estimated construction cost is $3,291,883.84. Applicant alleges substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver on vertical accessibility based on the fact that the project in question is new construction.
Thank you. Do we have anyone representing Stay and Save on the line? Is there anyone from the public with questions or comments?
Yes, this is John Donahue.
Are you representing the property, Mr. Donahue?
I'm the architect of the project, and again, our the biggest reason for requesting the waiver is that there are no accessible spaces on the second floor and none required. Potentially installing the elevator to the second floor only provides access to an exterior balcony. And, you know, we're kind of seeking clarification on the code as to why that would be necessary when, again, we're only required to have one accessible room in the facility.
Does that complete your comments, Mr. Donahue?
Yes.
Thank you. Council members, any clarifying questions? Hearing none, council, we will entertain a discussion and or motion.
This is Joe Novecchio. I'm making a motion that we deny the waiver on the grounds that it's new construction.
This is Allison Klein. I second that.
Thank you. Any further discussion, council members? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. We'll move on to item number five. This is Villa Quattro, waiver number 448. Mr. Sellers?
The issue is vertical accessibility of the first and second floor units. The project type is historical preservation alteration. The project progress is under design. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility of the first and second floor units of a historical hotel built in 1941 with 8,452.5 square feet. The applicant is proposing to renovate the ground floor lobby to provide an ADA hotel unit and cafe. The applicant stated that the existing hotel features initial threshold to enter the front porch and lobby area, including an additional step to access the first floor and two stairs to access the second floor units. As part of the proposed alteration, vertical accessibility will be provided to the ground floor lobby cafe and an ADA hotel room via a new exterior ramp within the south side setback of the building. The hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owner, which does not affect the owners in general. Applicant provided documentation substantiating the historic nature of the project. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of historical significance.
Thank you. We have several persons representing Villa Quattro. Mr. Weber, will you be speaking for the property?
I believe our attorneys were going to lead the charge on that, Matt Amster and Emily.
Mr. Amster, you have any further comments?
This is Emily. I think I'll be speaking on behalf of Villa Quattro. As I introduced, Emily Balter, with Dirk Cardell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tapanis, our office here at South Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. We represent the current owner of the hotel at 334 Ocean Drive. As Mr. Weber spoke, he is our design professional in the redesign of the new project. If I could possibly, Mr. Hammers, pull up the architectural plans, just that one page, I'd just like to refer to one page if possible. It's the ADA plans, A3.1, page 16, if that could come up on the screen, I would appreciate it. But I'll just keep going.
Just what happens. Please, Emily.
Yeah, of course. No, of course. So the project is a modestly sized, historic 28-room boutique hotel. As Mr. Sellers noted, it was built in 1941 on a very narrow, only 50-foot wide lot. The property is located within a local historic district, and the hotel itself is classified as a contributing structure. And what this means is that the city has determined that the building adds value to the local historic district due to its style of architecture and the time of its construction. It really is a leading example of the Art Deco style of architecture. The hotel is two stories, but as is very common for hotels in this era, there is an initial threshold from the sidewalk, from the abutting sidewalk, to the main entrance, lobby, to access the first floor guest rooms. There are also only stair access to the second floor, and this building has never had an elevator. So I think if you go to the ADA waiver final submittal plans, that...
Jim, that'd be the first link on that page, please.
Thank you, I appreciate it. I think it'll help clarify our request. The
order... The link I just clicked?
Yep.
Yes, thank you.
Page 16, please. It's A3.1. So that's the facade of the hotel you can see that we're proposing to renovate. We're only proposing renovations. This is not new construction. We're making the ground floor accessible with ramping on the south side. That page. Yes, perfect. As I said, we're making the hotel accessible with ramping on the south side into the lobby. And we're adding a small cafe, as well as a new ADA bathroom and a new guest room, which didn't previously exist. We're also updating the guest rooms and keeping the size and layouts of all the rooms and hallways the same. A lift or ramp system would really destroy the historic integrity of the hotel lobby. It would damage the original terrazzo floors. It would obstruct access to the lobby desk and compromise some of the ceiling details in that lobby. And as mentioned, this request included in the record a letter from the City of Miami Beach's Chief of Historic Preservation, which she attests to the historic nature and importance of this building and notes some of the irreparable harm that additional accessibility elements would cause. We also included the historic concurrency determination from the Florida Department, which concludes that alterations will threaten or the historic significance. In addition to the historical of the building to justify the inability to provide access to the first and second floor units, which staff is supportive of, based on the size of this hotel, it's a very narrow hotel and it's structurally infeasible to place either ramps or a chairlift conveyance system within the building. There's just not enough room, as you can see from this layout. The walkways are very narrow, the staircases are narrow. The main issue really is that lift apparatuses would impede life safety egress from the first and second floors. The size and the lengths of the ramps would obstruct access between the lobby and the first floor, and then from the first floor to the second floor. And each staircase would have to be reconfigured to provide the proper safe ramping and safe handrails. And to support this also technical and feasibility, we submit from our design professional attesting to the technical and feasibility, and it's included in the record. Just to note, as you can see on this page, there will be vertical accessibility to the new ground floor cafe, out to the porch in the front, the lobby, you know, someone will be able to enter and check in and enter their guest room. As a result, all guests will be able to experience this hotel, this classic Miami Beach style of hotel without much issue. The waiver is necessary to carry out these renovations, and therefore for both the historical preservation and significance, as well as the technical and feasibility, it's really impossible to make those first floor and second floor units accessible. We are respectfully requesting your favorable recommendation, and our team is on the line to answer any questions. Thank you.
Council members, do you have any clarifying questions for either of these parties?
This here is Joe DelVecchio. I just want to thank the woman for giving us such a thorough analysis of the situation. I also want to thank all the principals involved in the project for doing what they possibly could to make accessibility as well as possible. Therefore, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we grant the waiver that they're requesting on the grounds of historical significance.
We have a second.
This is Darlene. I can second it, please.
Thank you. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion to grant based on historical significance, please vote by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Thank you. We now move to item number 6, Leola Construction, waiver number 435. Mr. Sellers?
The issue is vertical accessibility of the second floor. The project type is an alteration to an existing building or facility. The project progress and plan reviewed. Compliance estimate amount spent on accessible features is $37,711.87. The project construction cost and construction over the past 3 years is $124,668.85 with a disproportionate cost of 30%. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to the second floor of an office with 3,851 square feet. The applicant would like to add 1,849 square feet to the first floor and 1,769 square feet to the second floor. The applicant stated that adding an elevator would take away space from the proposed alteration, thus decreasing the number of the needed office spaces and creating a need for a new building to be constructed or leased, which would split up current location into and create a hardship of conducting business from two locations. The project cost is $66,276.86 for the proposed alteration, and in the past 3 years, $58,392 was spent on adding storage plus office space. Estimates of $78,000 for an elevator and $27,900 for a lift were submitted. The associated cost for installing the lift is $9,811.87, and the associated cost for installing an elevator are $16,743.21. The hardship is caused by a condition or set of conditions affecting the owners, which does not affect the owners in general. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends granting the request for waiver for vertical accessibility on the grounds of economic hardship and technical infeasibility.
Thank you. Mr. David Conley, representing Leola Construction, is on the line. Do you have any further comments, sir?
No, ma'am. I think Chip summed it up really well.
Thank you. Council members, any clarifying questions? If not, we'll move ahead to a motion and or discussion.
Mr. Darlene, I make a motion to accept the waiver of a vertical accessibility on the basis of economic hardship and technical feasibility.
Thank you, Darlene. Do we have a second?
And this is Steve Willey again.
Mr. Bixney is the second. Thank you. Any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion to grant based on economic hardship and technical infeasibility, please vote by saying aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Thank you. Our final project for discussion is the new athletic field and stadium at Community School of Naples, waiver number 446. Mr. Sellers?
Yes. The issue is vertical accessibility to a press box. The project type is new construction. Project progress is in plan review. The applicant is requesting a waiver from providing vertical accessibility to a press box with 468 square feet. This is new construction for an athletic field and stadium for Community School of Naples. The proposed project will consist of new synthetic turf athletic field with stadium seating for an occupant load of 1,014. In addition, the proposed project will house concession and restrooms below with press box above. With exception to the press box, all areas within the proposed project will be accessible. The project construction cost is $4,100,499, estimates of $190,297.65 and $239,013.67 for an elevator were submitted. The applicant alleges that substantial financial costs will be incurred by the owner if the waiver is denied. Staff recommendation. Staff recommends denying the request for waiver for vertical accessibility based on the fact that the project in question is new construction.
Thank you. Mr. Ryan Richards is on the line representing the property. Do you have any further comments, Mr. Richards?
I do, and thank you for the moment. We've received conflicting information about whether a waiver is required. A press box under 500 square feet is exempt from accessibility requirements and the federal accessibility code under 206.2.7. But looking back at precedents, you know, this is not a new situation. Kaiser University on the other coast from us recently completed one. They were $5.9 million for also a $230,000 elevator. This is just a few years back. They had an option two of staff recommendations saying that granting the waiver would be unnecessary and unreasonable to require vertical accessibility to the press box since it would be eligible for the federal exemption. We also look at Ave Maria completed the stadium in 2014, much lower construction cost at $120,000, but they had essentially called it a scoring area and made it eligible for the Florida Building Code general exemption 203.10. We have First Baptist Academy a couple blocks away from us down the road here. They completed one in 2016. We have not been able to locate the details of that, but we are told by our authority having jurisdiction that they had received a waiver as well. There's other projects not requiring a waiver, and this goes into all of the public school. Benita Springs High School recently opened just down the street, was not required to process a waiver. Gateway High School, under construction right now, just a few miles away, is not required to get a waiver. These are all privately permitted and applicable under the state code. And so we had kind of this question about why private schools would be held to a different standard. While it is a traditional name, press box does not reflect the current use of the space. The space press is not allowed in the press box. And again, Ave Maria used the term scoring area. And 95% of the vents, only occupants would be the PA announcer and the scoreboard operator. Half a dozen football games at home, there may be a few additional coaches as well. The actual press is and continues to be limited to the sideline and general grandstand locations. Now, handicapped press locations do have dedicated accessible locations within the grandstand and access to the playing field. Now, these dedicated locations are at a elevated visibility 5 foot above the field and, you know, right on the 50-yard line for prime viewing and prime location. All camera work is going to be done via fixed equipment on the canopy or on the field itself. And while, you know, finished floor for the press box is about 15 foot above grade and, you know, 5 foot for the general bleacher seating, take about 180 feet of ramp to get up there, or, you know, a $200,000 elevator. So our real question is essentially is, why is this unreasonable exemption not under the staff analysis at this time?
If I can, my name is Rich Ivanovich, and I'm with the law firm of Coleman, Ivanovich & Kester. I just wanted to add a few comments, if that's acceptable. I think what's different in this particular case is that the Florida Building Code clearly allows for the waiver down to the federal ADA accessibility requirements, which in our particular case would not require any elevator or press box. In addition, we have been trying to work closely with the Cuyahoga County Building Official as well as your staff to better understand the requirements. And frankly, the building official has no objection to our requested waiver and has, in fact, assisted us in looking at the precedents that do, in fact, exist for other stadiums in Cuyahoga County for private schools, and that's both Ave Maria as well as First Baptist Academy being granted those waivers. So I don't think there's any objection, and there's been some question as to whether or not we needed to apply for this waiver at all. We've done that in an abundance of caution. I think it's really important that we point out that we are providing handicap accessibility to everybody who attends an event as well as the press. And this is simply for the quote press box scoring area, whatever the right terminology is, to not be required to provide this elevator. It has very limited access. And with that, we would request, and honestly, I was a little surprised when I went back and looked at the typical staff report. When I looked at the Kaiser University staff report, that staff report basically gave your body two options, grant or deny. I don't know why you weren't given those two options in this case. It seems a little unusual from past precedent, but we would request that you grant the waiver consistent with the actions previously taken by your body as well as the state level body as well. And with that, we're available to answer any questions you may have regarding the specifics of our request.
Through the chair, this is Mo Madani. I wanted to really address really the issue with regard to this specific project and other projects that have, you know, mainly has press boxes and all that. It's really the ADA, you know, it does have an exception with regard to vertical accessibility for, you know, those press boxes, which they, the size, where the size is 500 square feet or less. And with regard to issuing a waiver, normally if you read the outline of, you know, the analysis, staff analysis with regard to waiver applications, we do look at it from the fact, is there an economic hardship? Is there a historic nature? Is there technical infeasibility? This is a new construction, so it's really difficult to really fit the analysis for a new construction and these criteria. That's truly the, you know, in terms of the similar project that came before the council and the commission, staff normally would go with a new construction that's really, and so that we request that it be denied. However, based on prior cases, yes, the council and the commission did approve or actually waive the vertical accessibility requirement based on unnecessary and unreasonable, basis. So if the council, you know, feel that, you know, that there is an unnecessary and unreasonable issue here that could be used to grant the waiver, sure, staff would, would be okay. So it's really, our analysis is really based on what is really normally how we handle the waiver analysis and all that, and the criteria, that we use for judging whether, a waiver can be issued or not. But ultimately, it's the call of the council and the commission. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Madani. Council members, do you have any clarifying questions at this time?
This is Allison Klein. So just to be clear, this is a new construction for a private school where the cost is going to be over $4 million?
That is correct.
Okay. Based on that, I would move to deny this application based on the new construction.
We're not, if I may, I'm not sure
sorry,
why
sir.
We're being...
Sir, when the council's making a motion, we need to allow them to finish their discussion. One moment, please. Do we have a second?
I've got a second, sir.
Thank you. At the Mr. Delvecchio, at your request, would you like to hear the comments from
I'm open for discussion. Yes,
sir.
All right. Thank you for that. While the project may be in the $4 million range, within the purview of the building itself is less than half of that. So it's a $2 billion concession facility. One of the other points I wanted to bring out is I don't understand why we're being penalized because it's not a pre-engineered metal building and that it's actual construction that is compatible with the site surroundings. And I didn't mean to interrupt earlier. It just sounded like a question I was supposed to be answering.
And if I can add one more point, the Kaiser area was almost a $6 million stadium with a press box. And the question becomes, is it necessary for the limited use of that space to incur another $200,000 in expenses for a school that's primary goal is to use its funds to provide education, which includes sporting events for its students? And those numbers can go ahead.
This is Paul Martel. I have a question. What's the space going to be used for then? If it's not a press box, what's the use?
It houses a school board operator and a public address announcer. And during some football games, there may be a coach or two up there.
The press box, the press is actually on the field or in the stands themselves.
If I may, this is John Allen. This is John Allen. I'm chairman of the board of the community school in Naples. I'm very proud of this school because we have a very rigorous financial aid program where we really change kids' lives down here. So the comment about this is a private school spending $4 million, I can tell you this is a private school that's been here for 38 years, and we've never had a field. We're not spending money frivolously or carelessly here. We have worked very hard to become one of the most rigorous college prep schools in the state. And along the way, with our excellence, we have dragged a lot of kids' lives up. I have a major financial commitment to this school. I worked very hard to raise the money on it. We're still short of the money that we need to finish this. And it's the first time in 38 years this private school, the only school in all of Southwest Florida that doesn't have a all-sports stadium for young men and young women in the county, the only school. And so this isn't a luxury of a bunch of rich kids. This happens to be a school that's waited a long time to try to get this, and we're still short of our goal. And I'm raising nickels and dimes to make this happen so that the kids in this community that go to this school that we're launching all over the United States for the most elite schools around, young kids, good kids, kids from socioeconomic backgrounds that would make some of the public schools happy here. And the question that we're a private school, yes, we're struggling like everybody else in the country is right now to raise money and to stay in existence. I really find it offensive to suggest that the private school, we have to have a different treatment than anybody else has in this county, and we have to delay or stop the construction of this because we're asking for something that has been routinely granted to other people. And by the way, we're also very proud of everything we do for the handicapped in this community. We do a good job. No, we do a great job of that. So the insinuation that we're a private school trying to get a stadium, to just add to the list of things that we have here, we've waited 38 years to get this. It'll be 39 years when this stadium is completed. Hardly a luxury when every other public school and every other private school in this area has a stadium and we don't.
Thank you for your comments. Now back to the council for your discussion, please. We have a motion and a second on the table. Council members?
I have another question.
Back to the council, please. Is that Mr. Martel?
Yes, I just have a question. I don't know if any staff can answer this question. What are the rules regarding public schools with respect to these areas that, you know, that they're, does anybody have an answer to that? Does our attorney have an answer?
This is Mo Madani. I think with regard to, you know, public schools and get federal funds, there is Title II and there is, you know, Title III. But with regard to the vertical accessibility requirement, that's a Florida specific. Under the ADA, this application will be, you know, fall under the exception because of the fact the area for the press box is less than 500 square feet. So under the ADA, this facility was not required to provide for vertical accessibility. The issue here is the Florida-specific requirement. And again, I would bring back again that we, in two situations, in two prior projects, the council and the commission did waive the requirement for press boxes when the area is less than 500, just really to be, you know, mainly you are granting the waiver down to the ADA. So I just wanted to, the issue is a Florida-specific issue. It has nothing to do with Title II or Title III or what have you, that there is a requirement in the Florida accessibility code that require all levels to be vertically accessible.
Thank you. Council members, you now have a choice. Ms. Klein, you can choose to move forward with your motion as stated, or you can choose to withdraw that motion and state a new motion if you wish.
I would continue with the motion.
Mr. Delvecchio, do you continue with your second?
I do not.
Do we have a second for the motion? Hearing none, the motion dies for lack of second. Now, council members, we need a new motion, please.
Yeah, if you don't mind, this is Mo Madani. In the prior project, the basis for the waiver was issued based on that it's unnecessary and unreasonable. There were two projects that we looked at. Really, that was the action at that point for both the council and the commission. Just for your information, if you decided to go that route, unreasonable and unnecessary.
Do we have that? I didn't think that was a choice.
Mr. Steinlein.
This is Mamadani. Based on the prior project that came before you and the commission, that's what you went with. All I said is that at this point, yeah, you could, you know, you have the choice to do that. You can ground the, you know, the waiver based on unnecessary and unreasonable.
Justin Vogel, unnecessary and unreasonable economic hardship is what the council would need to find.
Mm-hmm.
And I would also just note to everyone, I mean, of course, I think the council members realize this. This represents a recommendation to the Florida Building Commission. The Florida Building Commission will consider that recommendation as well as all the materials provided by the applicant, and there will be another hearing on this at that later date in addition to this one.
This here is Joe DeVecchio.
Yes, sir, Mr. DeVecchio.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
I thank you. Yes, I'm going to make a motion, but first I want to make it very clear that this motion has nothing to do with the implied demographic of this school. But I'm going to make a motion that we grant an exception of Mr. Johnny, I'm sorry, but what is the correct verbiage, or should I request a legal counsel?
I'd be happy to provide it. In the prior waivers, Mr. DeVecchio, it was granted on the grounds that adherence to the literal requirements of the Act would cause unreasonable and unnecessary economic hardship.
Okay, and I will make my motion as said.
Do we have a second? Council members?
I call Dixie second.
Do we have any further discussion?
Yeah, just a clarification. This is Paul Martel. I don't think it's an economic hardship. I just think the issue is that you know, the council needs to be consistent in its ruling. And if it's going to grant a waiver for other individuals, other folks need to be able to have that taken into consideration as well.
So this is Allison Klein. So what is the percentage for the economic hardship? Does this meet the 20% threshold?
Fine. This is Justin Vogel. That 20% threshold doesn't apply in the case of new construction. That threshold is something that is applicable when an alteration to a facility is occurring, and so that's frequently why in cases of new construction it wouldn't ordinarily be granted. But it's not, but it has been on occasion. And as the petitioners are pointing out in this case, there are at least two prior cases that I'm aware of in recent years where similar press boxes were granted a waiver. But it's not just limited to that. On occasion, new construction does qualify. And in that case, there wouldn't be a strict monetary threshold, but there would have to be a finding essentially that a substantial financial cost would be incurred by the owner if the waiver was denied. And so there is an economic component to address Mr. Martel, but there's not a strict threshold as it is in the case where an alteration is occurring.
Okay, thank you for that.
So just to clarify, in the past, the other waivers that were provided were based on economic hardship?
They were not based on economic hardship in the way that you're thinking, where there's the 20% threshold, which is mandated by Florida statute in the case of an alteration. That's a different aspect. With every single waiver that occurs, a component of it would be that substantial financial costs are going to be incurred by the owner. And typically that would be the case if you're going to be installing an elevator or a lift. You know, there would be some kind of substantial cost associated. I mean, if there were going to be no substantial cost associated with a project, then technically you wouldn't be able to grant a waiver. But like I said, there's not any strict threshold with that. And with most of these cases and with the installation of an elevator, I mean, I can't make the determination for you whether that would be a substantial financial cost, but in the past that has been found to be one by the commission and I believe by the accessibility council as well.
Council members, any further discussion? We have a motion and a second on the table. All those in favor of the motion, please vote by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion is granted for unreasonable and unnecessary economic hardship. Do we have any further comments from the general public? Hearing none, council members, if you have no further business, we're going to do a final roll call. We ask that you answer by saying here. Joe DelVecchio?
Here.
Beth Meyer is out today. Jim Woolihan?
Here.
Paul Bixney?
Here.
Thank you. Darlene Lible-Crow?
I'm here.
Allison Klein?
Here.
Paul Martel?
Here.
Thank you. It is 4:01. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attendance today and have a good afternoon. We are adjourned.
Through the chair, a quick question.
Yes, please.
Is the Florida Building Commission, Emily Balter, is the Florida Building Commission still scheduled for April 7th? I know with all the things going on, you know, wanted to confirm.
Yes, it is. This is Justin Vogel. It is still scheduled. It will be held via teleconference.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.